This is exactly right.
This episode is brought to you by Volvo Cars. The new Volvo EX90 alerts you of potential accidents before they might happen. Because sometimes the moments that never happen matter the most. Visit volvocars.com/US to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by United Airlines. When you want to make the most of your vacation, book with United. They're an airline that cares about your travels as much as you do. United is transforming the flying experience with Bluetooth connectivity, screens, power at every seat, and bigger overhead bins to help fit everyone's bag. And with their app, you can skip the bag check line, get live updates, and more. Change the way you fly. Book your next trip today at united.com.
Hello.
And welcome
to my favorite murder. What?
What?
To my favorite
murder.
My favorite murder. Murder.
Murder. The minisode.
That's right.
Wait, is it?
Yes.
Yes, it is. That's
you are
right.
100% correct.
We're all where we think we are and are supposed to be.
Exactly.
Perfect to know. Oh, that's George Armstrong. Oh, did we do this on this?
I don't know. It's been a while. We were on vacay, so we had a little break from this, so we don't remember anything.
Line.
You want to go first?
Sure. I am very excited about this first email because the subject line reads, "My dad's I survived a shipwreck story, blood !! Sharks !! And then in parentheses it says edited for time. Hello, Karen, Georgia, and everyone at MFM. I sincerely love you all so much." That felt sincere. Mm-hmm. "I'm here to tell you about my dad's amazing survival story. My dad, Larry Stewart, is a Hemingway hero come to life, but like a gentle and non-misogynistic version. He was a captain in the Canadian Airborne Regiment and participated in the U.S. Ranger Corps. He led an expedition to climb Mount Blanc, the highest mountain in the Alps, and scuba dived with sharks. He's a true adventurer. Unfortunately, he had a parachute accident at the height of his career as a paratrooper, which shattered his ankle. Instead of taking a desk job in the Army, he decided to become a Marine navigation officer." And then in parentheses, it says, "a sailor." "One day, he heard about a man who was looking for a navigator to help him race across the Atlantic Ocean. They were to start in the Canary Islands and end in Barbados. My dad flew from Ontario, Canada, to join the crew in Portugal. Right away, he had a bad feeling about the situation. The crew seemed surprised when Dad asked where his life jacket was located."
Oh, no.
Then in parentheses, it says, "apparently, they didn't bother to try them on. And a boom," which is the thing that Big Sail is connected to, mm-hmm, "clipped my dad on the side of the head when a crew member was being careless. Mm. One of the first nights, they almost got run over by a high-speed ferry. They were close enough to see the people on deck, red flags."
Yikes.
"However," yes, for sure. "However, he was committed to cross the Atlantic with this crew. Here's where it gets rough. They managed to take the 33-foot sailboat all the way to the coast of Barbados when all of a sudden their satellite navigation system broke down. It was dark, but they could make out the coast in the far distance and a dip in the skyline. My dad was at the wheel, not navigating, when they hit a reef. He could smell the algae and marine life that was being churned up, and he knew they were in trouble. My dad grabbed his life jacket, and the other crew members rushed to grab theirs." And then in parentheses, it says, "one of the sailors realized that his was child-sized and it didn't fit. If only he'd tried it on before they left. My dad tried to steer them away, but they soon hit the reef again and the boat got knocked to the side, throwing my dad into the ocean. The other members of the crew managed to get into a dinghy before the sailboat sank, but the waves were strong and the current ripped them away, so my dad was on his own." I mean, if this is a creepypasta email, I don't care. I'm in because this is good shit.
It would have been like friend of a friend of a dad of a friend.
Yeah, that's true. Like
first person dad.
They wouldn't have known his name was Larry.
Yeah.
"Their dad was on his own. He had to muster up the strength and energy to swim to shore. Although he could occasionally see a break in the skyline when he looked to shore, he was a great distance from it and the sea was rough. He remembers worrying about sharks. and then in parentheses, he was pretty bloody and banged up from the wreck, and praying he wouldn't get smashed against the reef and rocks. He was always a strong swimmer, but the choppy water and exhaustion made it challenging. After over an hour of swimming, he started to hear waves. This gave him the psychological push to keep going. Finally, his tired and beat-up body made it to shore. He was waterlogged and exhausted, lying on the beach. He was eventually rescued by, wait for it, a troop of Boy Scouts who were camping nearby. Where'd you guys come from? Where did you come from, sir? They were able to put their scouting skills into action by saving this strange man who'd washed up on shore, taking him to the local police station.
Oh my God, that was like the night of their little lives.
What badge is that? I mean, are there enough badges to cover the heroics?
No.
My dad continues to be the strongest person I know. He's been battling cancer for the past 5 years, and his grit and determination is inspiring. He is the best father a girl could ask for. Thank you for taking the time to read this story. Stay sexy, and always remember to try on your life jacket before crossing the Atlantic on a small sailboat, Kate.
Whoa. That's badass.
It's incredible.
Yeah, that's so cool.
And also kind of from the top, it's like, listen to your gut. Listen to your gut.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. You know when something's bad.
Try on your life jacket and listen to your gut. This one, I'm just going to tell you this part. We did what in the 90s? And it's a Halloween story. So here we go. Hey, team. Here's a spooky Halloween story for you. When I was a kid, my family lived in Bridgewater, Massachusetts, notably famous for being part of the Bridgewater Triangle, the location of tons of paranormal phenomena. Mm. You know this?
I have heard about, there's like a swamp that crazy stuff happens in, it's the thing if I'm right about what I'm thinking of.
Okay. That's a whole other thing I know very little about. So for the purposes of this story, Bridgewater is also the home of Old County Correctional Facility. Mm. I've always had this vague memory from when I was around 4 years old of walking through town in a Halloween parade, trick-or-treating in one big group with tons of other kids. Picture every kid in town dressed in costumes walking down a main road in one giant cluster. I never really thought much of it because four-year-old memories aren't super reliable, and I just figured it was some event my mom took us to. But as I got older, I started to wonder about it. Cue some internet sleuthing, and it turns out there was a town-wide Halloween, quote, parade of kids because, all caps, two escaped convicts from the local prison were on the loose.
Oh!
That's right. Two murderers serving life in prison broke out of Bridgewater's security facility on Halloween.
Shit.
Robert DeLallo was serving life for the murder of a Boston police officer in 1963, and Joseph Correa was serving life for the murder of a guard during a bank holdup in 1976. So these are like bad guys.
Yeah.
Both had previous breakouts from other facilities, and both had been transferred from the state's maximum security prison 4 years earlier due to overcrowding. Officials noticed that they had been well-behaved until the breakout. If my memory serves correctly, there we were, a town full of kids just parading down the main road of town while two murderers were on the loose. I guess it's safer than individual trick-or-treating, but either way, nothing says I was a 90s kid more than our parents throwing caution to the wind for the promise of some tricks and treats. My mom passed away from breast cancer, and then it says, get screened, ladies, in 2014 when she was only 56 years old. She was the very best, despite the aforementioned accusations that she took her four-year-old, three-year-old, and one-month-old babies to very exposed Halloween activities during a prison break.
Hey, so did everybody else.
I know. They all did it. And I really, really wish I could ask her about this now. I'm certain she'd brush it off as no big deal, as all good 90s moms do. Stay sexy and don't trick-or-treat during prison breakouts. Kelly G.
So basically, they had this parade planned and they were like, well, we're not canceling the parade even though there's
no, I think it's we can't trick or treat on our own individually, so let's just have this like group. If we're all together, they can't get us.
They can't get us.
Mentality. Yes, I think it's like that year there was basically a Halloween parade so everyone could stick together and trick or treat.
Man. Hey, look, as long as there's costumes and candy, does any kid really care what the pattern is?
No. And does any parent want to be like, trick-or-treating's canceled this year? Halloween's canceled this year?
No.
No, you can't do that.
No, not to children.
They did the best with what they had.
They really did, which was what the 90s were all about, on top of no one being really informed or caring that much.
Right, right.
I mean,
yeah.
Everyone was doing their best.
Bring it back. During the holidays, there always seems to be little treats everywhere you look.
Yep. And then by dinner time, you're crashing from all that sugar and you need a satisfying meal.
Yes. Enter Home Chef.
Home Chef has step-by-step recipes that are designed to make cooking a breeze, whether you're a total beginner or a confident cook looking to save time.
With speedy recipes that are ready in less than 30 minutes and oven-ready dishes that require zero prep, you can choose the meals that work for you.
So no more feeling overwhelmed, no more racing against the clock, just delicious meals that come together effortlessly every time.
Home Chef boxes are conveniently delivered to your doorstep to simplify your cooking experience.
And Home Chef has over 30 options a week and serves a variety of dietary needs, so you don't have to worry about what to make ahead of time.
Plus, they roll out 18 fresh options every week, like corn and steak strip risotto or baked French onion penne. Come on.
Come on. Not only is it convenient, but it's economical too. Home Chef customers save an average of $86 a month on groceries.
Karen, I have this affliction where I'm not hungry at all until I'm starving.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't know what to do with myself because I'm so hungry, I can't think about what to eat next. So I love like going on the Home Chef website and picking out meals that sound really good to me when I'm not cranky and starving. So when I am cranky and starving, I'm like, oh my gosh, I have creamy spinach and artichoke stuffed chicken in my fridge ready to go. That corn and strip steak risotto, that sounds amazing. I want it now and I'm not even hungry.
Yeah, and it's like going to get into your mouth faster than if you ordered takeout.
Totally.
For a limited time, Home Chef is offering our listeners 18 free meals plus free dessert for life and of course, free shipping on your first box.
Go to homechef.com/MFM.
That's homechef.com/MFM for 18 free meals plus free dessert for life. That's right. You heard it right.
Homechef.com/MFM.
Must be an active subscriber to receive free dessert.
Goodbye.
This holiday, why not invest in the gift that keeps on giving? Being smarter than everyone else you know. I mean, knowledge.
Yes, and with Masterclass, you can become the smartest person in the room.
Masterclass is the only streaming platform where you have access to over 200 experts across 13 categories, like entertainment, science, and wellness.
For just $10 a month, you get an annual membership and unlimited access to every instructor on your phone, computer, or smart TV.
The Masterclass platform is so powerful, 88% of members report feeling like the lessons made a positive impact on their lives.
Plus, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee.
Don't wait another moment to start your learning journey with Masterclass.
I'm having the hardest time thinking of what to get my mom for the holidays that isn't political and isn't me telling her that she's wrong in every way. And I feel like this Masterclass membership is perfect for her because she gets to then pick what she like learns. So like she can do the Art of Intelligence with former CIA officers or the lovely Jose Andres series who basically shows how food connects us all. So, you know.
I think that's a great gift. I think that's so smart. And it's kind of like, it's a gift, but you didn't actually pick all of it. You're like, I'm just suggesting you learn some stuff.
Exactly.
Right now, our listeners will get an additional 15% off any annual membership at masterclass.com/MFM.
That's 15% off at masterclass.com/MFM.
Masterclass.com/MFM.
Goodbye.
The subject line of this email is, per Minisode 377, the time I also had the entire neighborhood in a panic. And then it starts, hi, MFM fam. Newer listener, second time writer. Not sure if my other story has been picked because I'm still catching up. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't that be a fun Easter egg for this person to have two hometowns?
Oh my God.
I've been listening for about a year and I finally made it to 2024 in your episodes. That's right. 8 years of podcasting in less than a year.
Whoa.
It's okay to be impressed.
Thank you.
Impressed is one way to describe it. Deeply worried is another. Now for my story. I just listened to Minisode 377 where a little girl incited a search party while she hid under the bed. I did almost the exact same thing when I was around 7 years old. At the time, my mom and I lived in a big house with my grandparents. The upstairs had been converted to an apartment for myself and my mom. I had a bedroom upstairs at my mom's and another downstairs at my grandparents'. I was a spoiled, rotten brat. Anywho, In an attempt to make my upstairs room more enticing, my mother bought her 7-year-old a waterbed. I was stoked.
Yeah, you were.
Did people have waterbeds when you were growing up?
Maybe one of my brother's friends, I want to say. Like, yeah. I definitely saw one once.
Yeah.
But it was like on silver spoons and shit.
Right. Those rich people. It was a very 70s thing. So it was like, as my memories were even forming, these things existed in the world where it's like, don't jump on them or you'll get in trouble. But if you lay there.
They were like the pinnacle of like suave, rich, cool person for sure.
They always, in my memory, always had like a velvet bedspread on them.
Smelled like cigarettes.
We're back in the email. Okay. One evening, we were supposed to be going somewhere. And then it says, no idea where anymore. And I did not want to go. Being very used to getting my way, I threw a fit, went upstairs, climbed into my waterbed, and pulled the blankets above my head to quote-unquote hide. I remember hearing my mom, Lori, my meemaw, Carolyn, and my poppy, John, calling out my name, their panic increasing as they could not locate me. You see, when I laid down and pulled the blanket over me, my little body sank into the waterbed and the blanket appeared flat.
Yeah, I can see it.
They were none the wiser. Sometime later, after the police had been called, my poppy, John, went into my bedroom, sat down, and started to cry. Through his sniffles, he heard a small snore. Yanking the blankets back off the bed, I was finally discovered. I remember them being so relieved that I didn't even get into trouble. Mm. However, the police did have a serious talk with me about how not getting my way was not reason enough to cause the entire neighborhood to mobilize a search party. Since being introduced to your podcast, I've been neglecting all my other favorites. Honestly, you guys are so good. I'm afraid you've ruined all the other true crime podcasts for me.
Oh, yes.
So thanks for that, I guess. Stay sexy and always check under the blankets. Whitley, she, her.
That's so cute. It reminds me of why I'll never jump on a bed is because cats like to go underneath the covers. So even at a hotel where there's no fucking cats, for sure, like I'll gingerly sit down on the bed. Just never know. That.
As a woman who is approaching middle age, I'm not trying to attack you, but that idea of like, and that's why I don't jump on the bed.
Right.
And that's why.
You know, launching yourself on a hotel room bed. Like there's few pleasures in life that equal that. Yeah, I guess that.
You could do it in a hotel room, right? That's the one place you know.
It is. But God, what if there's just like one time a cat? One cat.
A stray cat gets into those windows that are sealed shut.
I wish. Okay. This one's called Dumb Reasons the Family Stopped Talking, In-Laws Edition. And I guess we asked for this. Like, why did you cut people out of your life?
Yeah, we want to hear it. All about everything.
Hey, MFMers, you throw an off-the-cuff reason for us to write in and we show up.
That's right.
Here we go. So these are all the reasons. My husband has petty as fuck genes on both sides of his family and I'm here to spill the tea. Names have been changed because, quite frankly, I don't want to get on the family blacklist.
Smart.
Grandma Doris is a grudge holder. She is related to the Hatfields of the Hatfields and McCoys, so maybe she can't help it.
Yes, those are deep genes of hatred.
Grandma Doris has blacklisted her children for crimes such as missing a holiday barbecue and breaking a small glass dolphin figurine. Once, she said to her granddaughter, "Hope, honey, it's not Halloween," referring to Hope's makeup. Then Doris blacklisted Hope's dad for being miffed about the comment.
Wow.
Fucking petty narcissist. So you gotta love him.
Dealing it out. Can't take it. Mm-hmm. Yes. And a Hatfield.
The blacklist means no communication and no invitations to holidays. She will ignore you outright in a group text. She won't answer the door if you come to talk it out.
That's why you gotta crawl in a window.
That's right. When Grandma Doris's son, who is my father-in-law, died unexpectedly while on the blacklist, you would think she would eliminate the blacklist altogether, realizing time is short and family is everything. Nope. Her youngest son, Chad, is on the blacklist right now for having a failed marriage.
Oh, that's not fair.
That's not fair. On the other side of my husband's family, there is a longer-term, done-forever mentality.
I'm sorry. Getting in trouble for getting a divorce is the funniest thing of all. It's so... Like, not about you, Doris.
Totally. Like, maybe he needs you at this time of, like, strife, but no.
No, get it together.
All right, here's the done forever mentality side of the family. After a bad round of golf, Uncle Ken and his son, Ken Jr., didn't talk to Papa, the grandpa, through Papa's dying day.
Oh.
Over a bad round of golf.
What, like, grandpa lost golf and it was like, they were like,
I don't know. Maybe like, you're cheated. You cheated. I don't know.
We're only as strong as our weakest link. So get the hell out of here.
Right, right. After Papa fell and hurt his hip and one of his daughters, Susan, was not properly notified, she stopped talking to him and Nana for 15 years.
These people need to be medicated. This is not...
She stopped talking to him because he didn't tell her about his hip on time.
He was supposed to, from the hospital, send out notifications.
Listen to this. She never spoke to her father again.
What is wrong with these people?
This one has a semi-happy ending in that Susan and Nana had a reunion and made amends. Nana must have been waiting for this because she passed away the next day.
Oh my God.
Of course, Susan and Ken had been written out of the will and they both found out that last weekend.
I'm sorry, this is my new favorite hometown of all fucking time.
I love family gossip of families I don't know.
It's pure tea, and it's kind of like, you think your family's crazy, listen to this shit.
Please send us your families, your in-laws' families' gossip. Like, we want to hear it. We don't care that we don't know them. Change names, make up good ones.
Yeah.
And tell us about how petty and fucked up everyone's...
Also, because I think people do this in smaller doses, and it's almost like, let's blow it all the way up so you can see how fucking crazy this
right.
is. Because
when you add it all together, look at this. It says, recap of reasons my in-laws stopped talking. Barbecue, glass dolphin, golf, hip injury. Well, I hope you enjoyed. Much love to you for all you do. Stay sexy and be as petty as you damn well please, Kay.
Kay, I have a guess that you're from the South and that your family lives in the South.
It sounds like there's pimento cheese at a lot of holiday gatherings, for sure.
That sounds like a lot of this has taken place in the holler, but I could be wrong. God damn, that was funny.
Send us your family gossip, please. MyFavoriteMurder@gmail.com.
Also, I had kind of a recovered memory because I used to have a very small glass dolphin that was on the top of my dresser that I stared at. Mm-hmm. I mean, it must have been the late 70s. It was like the most beautiful thing I'd ever seen.
Aww.
It's like, look at it. Who made this?
It's gorgeous. Those little figurines that they glue to paper, little square of paper.
Yes.
That you get like Hallmark.
Yeah. And it's like, you would get it at the fair.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you want something huge.
Oh my God. Yes.
Right?
Whoa. I'm getting, yes. I definitely had like that a snail. I think that was really cute. Yeah. Shit.
And like some of it was color, but see-through, and some of it was white.
Yeah, like it was hand done. Bring it back.
Why do
I keep saying that?
If you have a glass figurine that you'd like to tell us about.
The holidays are nearly here, so now's the time to give your home a little sparkle.
Whether you're hosting a big holiday bash or you just want a cozy place to curl up, Article has the pieces that make it happen.
Article believes in delightful design for every home, and thanks to their online-only model, they have some really delightful prices, too.
Article makes furniture shopping a breeze with its carefully selected styles, from mid-century modern to boho and everything in between. No more endless scrolling, just beautiful options that suit your taste.
Check out their Madeira Extendable dining table. This solid oak table expands with two extendable leaves so you can invite everybody to dinner.
And Article provides fast and affordable shipping across the U.S. and Canada. You get to choose your delivery time and they'll keep you in the loop with updates along the way.
When it comes to quality, Article's designers hit the sweet spot between style, durability, and price. They're all about thoughtful craftsmanship that not only looks great, but stands the test of time.
You know, when I walk through my house, you could truly like walk around and just point to all the different Article pieces that are in my house.
Mm-hmm.
And because we're so lucky to get little samples over the years of like, you get to buy this thing, you get to buy that thing. And every single thing blends with the furniture that I have. It looks really high end. People always comment on it. And it's like, oh, I actually got that table for a very reasonable price. I think Article is like one of the best. It's almost like a design service because the quality of the furniture is so good.
That's so true. Article is offering our listeners $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more.
To claim, visit article.com/murder and the discount will be automatically applied at checkout.
That's article.com/murder to get $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more.
Goodbye. The subject line of this is celebrity encounter. Keanu Reeves helped during a fire alarm. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Now it starts. I have loved you since late 2016. Now pardon me as I drop every name I can.
Do it.
And then in parentheses, it says additional story adjacent names at the end of this email.
Okay. Yes.
Okay. It's fall of 2002. I'm a freshman studying theater at Pace University, just 5 blocks from where the World Trade Tower stood just a year before. Oof. I was working as an usher for the professional theater that was located on the ground floor of the high rise that contained the freshman dorms. The play was The Resistible Rise of Arturo Ui. That's a guess. Ui is the name. And it starred Al Pacino, Billy Crudup, Steve Buscemi, in parentheses, who told us ushers to break a leg before each performance, making us feel part of everything. Uh-oh.
Oh, they all said it?
That might get me.
Karen's already.
That might get me. Can you imagine Steve?
Break a leg.
Steve Buscemi walks by and goes, hey, break a leg.
Yeah.
Like with his little smile.
Are we all ready to do this? Oh, my God.
Come on. He's having the time of his life.
Yeah.
Okay. And then it says, among many others, because of the level of stardom that was performing in this show, the level of stardom that came to see the show was equal, if not greater. Mm. I'm talking Paul McCartney, Yoko Ono, and then in parentheses, not the same night.
Yeah, you know.
Harrison Ford and Calista Flockhart. And again, this list could go on. On the night of this particular story, I was legitimately starstruck. I got to meet and show to their seat the one and only Lauren Bacall.
Holy shit.
That's legendary.
Yeah.
That's Hollywood royalty.
Yeah.
A true dream come true. Also in attendance this night, Keanu Reeves. Mm. A different type of dream come true. It was about halfway into the first act. I, along with the other ushers, all 18 or 19-year-old students, are sitting on the floor in the lobby, whisper gossiping about who was in attendance that night when the fire alarm starts to blare. We all jump up, open our assigned doors, and begin pointing everyone in our sections towards the nearest exit, which led to a back alley. Once our sections were empty, we were to close our doors and follow everyone outside. Keeping in mind the place, recent events, and no one having any idea why the alarm was going off, it felt as though everything was edging on chaos.
That's scary. That's a scary time.
So scary.
Like, a fire alarm that close to the fucking spot? Hell no.
I mean, in Los Angeles, and I'm sure I've told you the story before, it was like a week after and we were swimming in the ocean and there were planes. We were basically watching planes land at LAX.
Mm-hmm.
And every time a plane came to land, we all thought it was going to crash. It was absolutely just this weird, like, is this one good? And it's like, no, it has to land like this. Right. This is the flight path. But we were all so freaked out.
Yeah.
Okay, back into the email. I was standing at my door guiding everyone in my section and thinking about how I can't let anything happen to Lauren Bacall.
It's all on you.
When I look towards the exit and see none other than Keanu Reeves also guiding everyone towards the nearest exit. Not going outside, but staying and helping us, almost children, get everyone out.
John Wick.
As this is happening, I then see another man decide this was his opportunity to raid the snack and drink bar. That was currently unmanned.
What? No.
About 15 feet from where I stood. I was not alone in seeing this blatant act of theft. Keanu also saw it. He left his self-assigned post, walked over to the snack bar, said to the man who had his arms full, let me get that for you, and dropped a wad of cash in the tip jar that was on the counter, then gently pushed the thief toward the exit.
Holy shit. Who the fuck was that person?
I mean, just a kind of a desperate, hungry person who was like, fuck it.
I hope.
And then they actually broke the paragraph and just had to have a single line that says, a true legend.
Mm.
Because It actually is true. He went and handled it in the classiest way.
Yes, you could have punched that guy right in the face.
Yeah, and it's easy to just be mad and be like, you're an asshole. Yeah. But it's like, or just how about you
let
get
me
out
make
here?
You look really fucking stupid.
And not to worry, Lauren Bacall was fine and got outside safely. Keanu Reeves also made it outside safely after unknowingly being my knight in black blazer. The show went on after about 15 minutes of the A-listers and the freshman college students mingling in the alleyway. And the cause of the fire alarm was discovered. It was a bag of popcorn left in a microwave too long in one of the dorm kitchens upstairs.
Oh, come on.
And then here's another line that got broken down out of the paragraph. Fucking teenagers. Yep. Stay sexy and believe in Keanu Reeves. Faith, she, her.
I mean, is there anything he can't do?
God damn.
National treasure.
And also just like handling shit. No one's, he's not running to the door, getting himself out first.
Totally. Oh. I love him. And he's also like, these 18-year-olds can't save everyone.
Someone's got to handle this.
Yeah. Okay, my last one's called I Sold My Soul. Lighthearted. Hi. Recently, my brother got married, and my sisters and I gave a speech celebrating him. Afterwards, I realized I missed sharing a classic story about his role as the stereotypical older brother. Coincidentally, that same week, you shared a story about an older sister's mischievous lies, so I thought I'd contribute my own tale.
Nice.
Growing up as the oldest of three sisters, my brother often found himself the target of our attempts to borrow his Palm Pilot or watch him play video games. It was the 90s, and we viewed him as our very own Inspector Gadget with all his cool tech. I'm sure we were the worst to be around. So I'm giving some grace to him for what he did. Anyways, when I was around 6, he was 12, while I was pestering him, he offered me $5, an enormous sum for a kid my age. The catch? I had to sell him my soul.
Oh.
Naturally, I jumped at the opportunity, thinking it was a small price to pay to be rich. He even drew up a contract, which I could barely read, and had me sign it. Not long after, I panicked, worried that I would die without my soul, something that in hindsight seemed important. I cried and begged him to return it, and he said the only way to get it back was to eat the contract, the entire sheet of paper. So there I was, munching on that piece of paper for the rest of the day. Stressful as it was, I kept the $5 and regained my soul, so I felt like a winner in the end. I'm now a clinical psychologist. I promise it's not his fault. And I've been a fan of your show since my first year in my doctoral program. I truly appreciate your mental health shout-outs, advocacy, and mindful growth. Thank you for everything you do. Stay sexy and keep that soul to yourself. Kind regards, Bethany.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. I can see my brother doing something like that as kids.
It's such a great plan of, like, if you're not going to stop bugging me, then I'm going to figure out something you're going to have to do all day long.
Keep you occupied all day long. It was worth it. It was worth the $5. And I bet you anything, the two other sisters were responsible for telling her why she was stupid to sell her soul, then making her panic. You know what I mean? It's like,
Do you know you're going to hell, right?
You know that if you die right now, like, you're going to hell.
It's so hot there. Mom's not there.
Tell us about your siblings at myfavoritemurder@gmail.com.
What if that older brother was Keanu Reeves and that changed everything we thought about him?
Oh, that's cute, though.
I know. It's precious.
Yeah.
Stay sexy.
And don't get murdered.
Goodbye.
Elvis, do you want a cookie?
This has been an Exactly Right production.
Our senior producer is Alejandra Keck.
Our editor is Aristotle Acevedo.
This episode was mixed by Liana Squalacci.
Email your hometowns to myfavoritemurder@gmail.com.
And follow the show on Instagram and Facebook at myfavoritemurder and on Twitter at myfavemurder.
Goodbye.